Beyond chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my glory is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I wear the glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My message today is God's grace is sufficient for you and me. God's grace is sufficient for everything. My life began in 1953 in Jonesboro, Arkansas. I was born with cerebral palsy, like I told you a while ago. You don't know what that is. When I was born, the oxygen could have given to my brain, and therefore I was born dead for about 18 minutes. That's why I walk with a limp, and that's why I talk a little bit funny. I'm going to stay the way all my life. If God don't intervene, I think God can intervene. But if we don't, hallelujah, anyway. Amen. I was brought up in the Baptist church. My father was a Baptist preacher, and therefore I'm a PK. And therefore, when you're a preacher kid all your life, you go to church all your life. I mean, every time the door opens, go old PK, go to church. I mean, every time the door opens, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, go PK, go to church. I tell you, everybody, every while I go, I went to church so much. I went to church 9 months before I was ever born. And but when you go to church 9 months before you ever born, you've been to church, amen? Oh, my. But I thank God for giving me a daddy and a mama who took me to church and not sent me to church. When I was 11 years old, my daddy got sick on Sunday night. 3 days later, my daddy went to be with the Lord Jesus, because of cancer of the liver. I don't know why God took my daddy, but the Bible says when you die in the Lord, you're going to go be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I know that my daddy is up in heaven today having a good time with Jesus, because the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen? Well, I'm the baby of 8. And when I came along, they spoiled me wasn't. I'm under my spoiled wasn't bread. And I love every minute of it. My mama spoiled me wasn't. I'm not only the baby of the family, but I'm a number one mama baby. You can tell by looking at me, I'm a mama boy, because I got that mama baby face. And you make fun of me, I can punch your lights out. But I love my mama. My mama gave me everything I wanted. And I'd say, Mom, give me them, Mom, give me that. She gave me everything I wanted. And sometimes she gave me things I don't want. You know what I mean? But I love my mama. I love my mama. I will be a mama boy until the day I die. Every day, me and my mom get up, I'm away from each other, we tell each other, we love each other. Everybody need a mom love. Everybody need a mama touch. Everybody need a mama joy. And people, I'm not ashamed to tell you, I'm a number one mama, baby, boy. One day in my life, though, my mom got sick at the age of when I was 14. And she went in the hospital the day before Mother Day, had the operation on her neck. July 1968, the doctor came to me and my family and said, your mom will never come home again. She had cancer. She had 6 months at the most to live. Well, I done the only thing I knew what to do, people. I got down on my knees. And I said, God, please, don't take away, Mom. God, please, don't take Mama. God, please, don't take Mama. God, Mama, the only thing I have. God, don't take Mama. Please, but in October 1968, God took my mama and I saw my mama go from 185 pounds to 57 pounds. And it tore me up, people. I didn't want to live. I wanted to die. I wanted to live with my family. Everywhere I went, somebody made fun of me. They pointed their finger and said, look, that boy walked funny. Or look, that boy talk funny. Or look, that boy can't do nothing. People, I couldn't go home to Mama. And I couldn't say, Mama, somebody made fun of me today. She couldn't pull her arm away from me and make it all better. It's no fun to be made fun of. And I would lay in bed every night, people, with tears rolling down my face, begging to die. Why? Because I was only 14 years old, and I didn't have no daddy, I didn't have no mama, and I didn't even have a body like everybody else. Hell, my family gave me everything they could, but they couldn't give me the love. And they couldn't give me the joy, and they couldn't give me the touch that my mama could give me. And people, I wanted to die. I was so lonely. I wanted to die. I was in the bottom of the pit of loneliness. I was so far down, I had to look up to see bottom. I don't want my family give up on me. I'm a no good cripple. Give up on me. I'm a no good cripple. Everybody gave up on me. But one sister, she took me in. She encouraged me. She wanted me to go to school. I didn't want to go to school. She wanted me to go to church. I didn't want to go to church either. But one night, I went to church April 17th, 1970, 13 years ago today, I went to church. And I sat down, and the preacher go up to preach. And when the preacher go up to preach, I said, man, I wish you would shut up. And that night the preacher shut up, okay, but 13 years ago, the Lord Jesus spoke up, and he came to me, and he knocked at my heart, and he said, David, I'm standing at your heart knocking. If you only open the door and only let me come in, I will come in and I will fellowship with you forever and forever. And 30 years ago, hallelujah, I go up on my seat. came down to the altar, got down on my knee. I said, Lord Jesus, here I am. I'm a lonely crip boy. I'm a nobody. But if you really are there, if you really love me, come into my life. I'm a lonely crip boy. I'm a nobody, but tonight I want to be a somebody. And let me tell you something. That night, April 17, 1970, I became a somebody because Jesus came into my life. I became a new creature. God took away my old things and gave me new things. God took away my loneliness and gave me happiness. Oh, people, I'm not lonely anymore. I'm happy. You know why? Because I've been to the doctor. Dr. Jesus. What a good doctor to go to, amen? Number one, you don't have to wait in a lobby for 2 hours. God took away my sorrow and gave me joy. Look at me. Oh, God did heal me physically. But, oh, God healed me spiritually. God did I still walk with a limb. I still talk funny, but all the joy that floods my soul because Jesus touched me and made me whole. I don't want to die anymore. I don't want to die anymore. Why? Because I have something worth living for. I don't want people to feel sorry for me. Because I'm okay. Because Jesus in my life. I don't have a daddy. I don't have a mama. I don't even have a body like you have. But let me tell you what I do have. I have God's grace. And the Bible says, God's grace is sufficient. Some people come up to me and say, oh, for the day, don't you want to be normal? And I look at them and say, what's normal? You think you're normal? You've got a long way to go, buddy. I don't want to be normal. I want to be judged like God wants me to be. Amen. Let me tell you something that blows your theology down the tube. That God knew me before I was even me. And the Bible said I was wonderfully made by God before I met Jesus. They made fun of me. They laugh at me. But after I met Jesus, you know what they did? They found me to be the most popular boy in that student body. Pretty good. Amen. 1,400 students. They found me to be ministered good spirit. They voted me to be the vice president of my class. They voted me to be the football, basketball, and track manager. I can play football. I can play basketball. But let me tell you, it was sure fun killing water to the dirty football players. I may not get there with the water, but it was sure fun killing empty buckets. 1971, God called me to preach. I was laying in bed one night, minding my own business. And God said, "David, I want you to preach." I'd say, "Who, me? Lord, I can preach. Lord, I talk funny. Lord, people can't understand me. Lord, I have a handicap. Lord, are you sure you want me to preach? Take that second look and then call me." He took that second look and he still called me to preach. And I got in my bed, got my Bible, turned it open to Philippians 4:13, which said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me." And buddy, look at me. I'm not going to let that dumb, stupid handicap slow me down from bragging on Jesus. Look at me. Every eyeball on me. I have a handicap. What's your problem? What's your problem? 1973, I went into full-time evangelism, go all over the country telling people about Jesus. I wouldn't step down to be a king than to brag on the king. God don't want my ability. God want my availability. And people, you are looking at a sweep of party victor available to God. And I found out a long time ago, when I'm available to God, God can take His ability and bring it through my available life. I'm not an eloquent speaker, but thank God you don't have to be eloquent to speak for Jesus. Amen. 1976, I graduated from William Jew College with a 3.2 average. That real good boy, Arkansas boy. I graduated with a BA degree. I don't know what that means yet. When they gave me my BA, I look at it and I go, "BA, born again." I know what it means. I better know what it means. Because I climbed 4-year college in the vibe. Slow too, huh? Some of you not going to get that until in the morning. But when you do, laugh real big because you just blew it. A government man came up to me and said, "David, you won't ever been in college." And I look at him and say, "You are a liar." 5 years later, when I climbed 4 years in the back, I pick up the telephone and I called that government up and I had the joy in saying, "You are a liar. I told you so. I told you so. I did finish college. And I want to tell you, me and Jesus got good things going." People come up to me for the BA and say, "Can you preach your way out of a paper bag?" I'd say beats me. I don't know. I'm an unemployed my way out of a paper bag. But I know one thing for sure. Me and Jesus should do a fun in the paper bag. 1978, I was voted to be one of the most outstanding young men of America. You'd say, David, you like to brag a lot, don't you? Yep, I should do. But not on me, on Jesus in me. You know why I like to brag on Jesus? Because I came a long way, baby. I know where I've been. Yeah. I know where I've been. But 13 years ago, I know what God did in my life. And ever since then, every day with Jesus gets sweeter than the day before. Amen. 1981, September the 5th, 1981, God put a precious lady in my life to love me, to pray for me, to support me, to stick with me, to think and think. I thank God for killing Jane, who can help me in my ministry. We became one. Oh, I thank God that God gave me a precious gift in Cameron Jane. That would be to you June 21st, 1982. God gave us both a precious gift named April Jane. How we thank God for April Jane. She looked just like a daddy. Oh, she's so good looking. No, I lied to you. She looked just like a mama. How we thank God for that. But people look at me. Every time we see April Jane, all we can say to God be the glory. Great things He has done. But I'm not lonely anymore. I'm happy. Because one day, I'm going to look up and I'm going to see my mama and my daddy again. Won't that be neat? Man, you'd say, David, do you miss your mom? Do you miss your dad? Sure I do. The older I get, the more I miss them. I would love to go home Thanksgiving and eat mama good home cooking. I would love to go home by Christmas time and find a present under the tree for mom and dad. I would love to get that simple birthday card and see those dynamite words, love, mama. I would love to call my mama up almost 10 months ago and say, Mama, you just became a proud grandma. I would love to bring my daddy to help me preach in the church, not the old Baptist church. And let my daddy heal me at the church. Let my daddy tell me everything I did wrong. I would love that, but people look at me. Look at me. I can't ever have that. But don't feel sorry for me, because I'm okay. I'm A-okay, because one day I'm going to look up and it's going to be a hallelujah homecoming day when I see Mom and Dad again. And not only that, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a brand new body. I don't know what I'm going to be like, but I know one thing, I'm not going to walk with a limp anymore. I'm not going to talk funny anymore. I'm going to walk and talk just like Jesus. Amen? And people look at me. You are looking at a 29-year-old man who really loved the Lord Jesus. All because Jesus first loved me. There was John. I always loved the same. After my testimony, I believe I sang it 2 years ago, but I'm going to do it again. Because it sums up my testimony. Because of the song now. Look at me. I'm no singer. I can carry a tune in a bucket. God didn't call me to sing. God called me to preach. And after I get finished singing the song, you're going to say, amen. Stick to preaching, man. Leave the singing of the gym. But look at me. I always love to sing the song from my heart, not from my lips. I'm sure, I know every one of you can sing the song better than I can. But nobody can make a better melody to the Lord than me. Because I guarantee you, I'm not only going to sing it, but for 13 years, I have victory in Jesus on my lips. I heard an old story. Howard Safer came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wench like we. I heard about his groaning of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Amen. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. Taught me and bought me with his redeeming blood.
Amen.
He loved me as I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood I like the third part. I heard about a mansion he had spelled for me in glory. And I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story and songs we say. I'm going to sing up there the song of victory. Sing it with me. Oh, victory in Jesus.